Blog Talk Radio.
The daily go get a mission show. We do this every single day. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. We break it down, baby. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. Every day it rains and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains and the DG will do the same. I am your host, Sun 752, a.k.a. Omar with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R. It is the Daily Go Get a Mission Show all up in your area. Flashback Friday. Thank God it's Friday. And tonight we are talking about judging by the way you look, the clothes you wear, the way you act, the words you say, the things you buy, the places you go. We make assessments and judgments about people based on that kind of thing. Are we right? Does it even matter if we're right? You know, if we point the finger at somebody. Well, my old head used to say, when you point the finger at somebody, there are at least one, two, three people pointing the finger right back at you. Well, this is a little bit different than we're talking about tonight, because we're talking about, you know, when we are looking at someone's appearance, their presentation, their physical presentation of what they are displaying to us. How often and how accurately are we able to make assessments about people's history?
based on how they look to us. Will we be right? Are we right, y'all? Well, we gonna see. We gonna see. And that's how it's going down tonight. Judging by the way you look, you know, all right, like we, you know, those of us who grew up with parents that tried to give us the best life that they could give us, whether they had money or whether they didn't, you know, all of our parents probably worked, you know, worked with the school, whatever they had to do, did whatever they had to do in order to make a decent wage and be able to put food on our table, put decent clothes on our backs and you know, try to give us the most decent life and upbringing that they could give us. Make sure that all of our Christmases, Easters, back to schools and all of that kind of stuff was intact. You know, we probably all had parents that tried to take care of all of that. And most of our parents, you know, by the looks of things, did pretty well. But we can always tell when somebody, you know, it looked like somebody's parents probably didn't do all that good of a job at it. Like, you could kind of tell that they must not have had nothing growing up, because you know how we may meet somebody or know somebody that's getting a little bit of money now. Maybe they have a good job or whatever, they hustling, whatever it is that they are doing right now, they are able to go out and shop till they drop. And you know, sometimes we say, well, you can tell that they must not have had nothing growing up, because they may be shopping and desiring and holding high value to the things that you used to hold high value to, but you've moved on from all of that. You know, Gucci and Louis, Fendi and all of that. When we were teenagers, yeah, we're talking about a hell of a run from like 84, from like 1983 maybe. Okay, yeah, 82 to maybe like 92, something like that. Nobody's out here scrambling to get no Gucci and no Louis Vuitton now. Like, it shouldn't really matter. But if you really wanted that back in the day, if you really wanted that stuff back in the day, but there wasn't a chance that you could get it back in the day because you just didn't have the means. Well, maybe today, since that shit is still popping, which is something I would never understand, but it is what it is. Our community supports what it supports, and so that's how it goes down. But yeah, so we can, you know, we might say, yeah, you can tell that they must not have had nothing back in the day. They must not have really had no real money or whatever. They must not have been able to afford no clothes back in the day because they spending all their money on clothes. And you like, you've moved on to bigger and better things. Maybe you've moved on to things that actually put some money in your pocket rather than things that are taking money out of your pockets. What's up, Nina Ross? How you feeling, Ma? Good to see you on the Instagram side. So, yeah. So, I mean, and, you know, when you see somebody that's getting money right now and it seems like the money is burning their pocket, like they got to get rid of it, yeah, you pretty much think to yourself, there's no way that you grew up having money and spending it and blowing it as soon as you got it the way you're doing it right now. No way. So you're looking like, look at this shit. Soon as they get paid, soon as they get a little money in their pocket and shit, they run it right to the store. They buying all this name brand, this, that, and the third. Even if you buying it for your kids, you know, because it's supposed to be the most noble thing to make sure that your kids are well-dressed, even if you running around here looking like a bum. If you do the opposite, then everybody's going to have something to say about you. You know, like, look, you out here dressed to the nines. Meanwhile, your kids got holes in their clothes. They got holes in their tough skins, and you running around here with evening gowns on. What's good? Somebody going to call DHS on you. They going to call DHS on you. They going to call DHS on you. Foster mom is coming through because they going to call DHS on you. You going to lose all of your kids too because they going to call DHS on you. They can't call DHS on you just because your kids got holes in their jeans. You running around here with Gucci loafers. They can't call DHS on you for that. That's not exactly abuse or neglect. But anyway, But yeah, we make those types of assessments. Like, yeah, you must not have ever really had no money because you spending all your money as soon as it gets in your hands. You spending all your money. You quick to get rid of the funds. Are we right about that though? And what does it really matter? You know, if somebody is getting money right now, they're probably happy about getting money right now. More than likely though, all of us have had a time in our career, somewhere in our adult life, where we would really like to forget about it. You know, like, you know, that those years when you didn't have a good job, or you got fired, or you was going through a depression, or you got a divorce, or you was in that toxic relationship, and that certain person was bringing you down. You know, those times when you was making good money but couldn't keep the money. Those times when nothing you could do seemed to be right. So what about that? I can tell by the way you act that you on antidepressant drugs, or at least you should be. You need to pop that Zoloft. You need to pop that Zoloft. You a little bit hard. You need to be soft. You need to pop that Zoloft. That Haldol. Yeah, yeah. One pill and all. Yeah, you need to be zannied up, baby. Somebody get this girl value. But yeah, you know, judging by the way you look, I could tell that you ain't never had nothing. You ain't never had nobody. I could tell that nobody ever really shows you no love. Can we tell that? I think it's possible. I know we do it all the time. You can kind of tell when somebody loves themselves, and you can kind of tell when somebody has been taught how to love themselves. Make sure y'all hit that like button. Y'all hit the like button. Hit the like button. You can kind of tell when somebody has been taught how to love themselves. You can tell when somebody has been taught how to value their self-esteem. You got low self-esteem. You got low self-esteem. You let your man pat you on the ass in public. You got low self-esteem. You got hubcap tire covers on your wheels instead of rims. You got low self-esteem. Those not the real Jordan 11s. You got jump mans on. You got low self-esteem. You got a faux fur on. That's not a real fur. And don't give me that bullshit about Peter. You got low self-esteem. You got low self-esteem. Yes, you do. You still putting ham hocks in the collard greens and the green beans instead of turkey butts. You got low self-esteem. You got low self-esteem. So yeah, you can kind of tell when somebody has been taught self-esteem, the value of it, how to love themselves, what loving themselves means. You can kind of tell. And you can definitely tell when it's absent and when it's needed. Like, you a needy type of person. You a needy. When was the last time y'all been around somebody that was needy? And whenever the last time you were around somebody that was needy, how receptive to their neediness were you? Did you look at it like, oh, okay, yeah, you got a need that I can fulfill? Or was it more like, God damn, you clingy bitch. Ugh. Leave me low. You are weak as a Calvin Cooler, White Mountain, Bartles and James. Sometimes we are a little insensitive to people's struggle before we understand what their struggle is about. And sometimes we do that based on how they look, based on how they dress, based on how they act. based on how they look, based on how they act. We do that. And it's not always inaccurate. And I'm not even sure if it's always wrong the way we do it. Carol Chamberlain, mi favorita. It's always really great to see ya. And T. Carrie Wright, morning, noon, and night. It's always great to have my peoples going directly right into your site. And so, Jones, you know, the Baltimore girls, can't leave me lonely. Robbie Ming, my big sis doing the thing, something like a queen for a king, it's no thing. And my brother from another mother, Norris Hill, sit back, relax, do your thing, Max, and chill. And who else is right here? Let me make sure I don't miss nobody, be it clear. And Emily Dunlap is in the house. Bows, we about to turn it out. And Stacy White now. Yeah, I'm from the D. I'm glad you came through to rock out with me. All right, so let me see what y'all talking about. Let me see what y'all talking about up in here. See what y'all talking about up in here. All right. So we still out here trying to outshine each other. Okay. TK Wright says, judging by the way that you look, I can tell that you're not comfortable with your body. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, that might be a hard one sometimes, though, because you know how some people, well, I'm just keeping a buck, man. A lot of these fat girls out here acting like they super comfortable with their body, and I'm not going for it. I'm not. I don't give a fuck. Listen, I'm not going for it. I know how it is for people to do self-deprecation. Like, I'm going to diss myself before you can diss me. You know who? Did any of y'all see the movie 8 Mile? You know, 8 Mile with Eminem? Remember, he stopped Papa Doc from being able to beat him in a rap battle because he went and said everything about himself first that he knew Papa Doc was going to bring up in that rap battle. So he called himself a bum. He talked about his girl being a hoe and all that stuff that he knew that Papa Doc, the opposing battle rapper, was going to say about him, about his boy shooting himself and all of that. He said it about himself to take away take those bullets out of those guns. And I kind of think that these fat chicks running around here, you know, acting like they all this, that, and the third, I'm not going for it. And you know one of the reasons that I'm really not going for it? Because it's one-sided on the gender side. You don't see no men out here like, yeah, fat boys is the truth. Fat boy. Even the damn fat boys, the group, the rap group. Rest in peace, Prince Marky D. Rest in peace, Buffy, the human beatbox. Yeah, we don't have that no more. We don't have nothing like that no more. So I figure if they were really comfortable with their weight, then they wouldn't be trying to lose weight somewhere down the line. Like nut-ass Monique. Monique got, you know, did a lot of empowerment, fat girl empowerment. She did a lot of it. But you see, her ass wanted to be thinner the whole time. So she was fronting the whole ride, made all that money, built up that big-ass following, and left them all there holding the bag. Like, you went and got weight loss surgery and lost all this weight, and we still fat as shit and eating like you told us to? The hoe wrote books about this shit. All fraud. So, yeah, you know, yeah. I can tell judging by the way that you look, I can tell you're not comfortable with your body. Ansel Jones says, I was in Korea when throwbacks was hot. They sold them for $100 to $300 in stores. I was buying the real jerseys. $50 to $80, and they flipped that to whatever they could get. Okay, that's what's up. Carol Chamberlain says, how about people who grew up with everything and it taught them to continue living that way? How about it? How about it? How about it? The thing is, I don't know too many people who grew up with anything that are still buying the same anything that they bought before. For example, the little rich teenagers that I grew up with, they had everything. But they ain't really, you know, it was funny because back then they never acted like they had everything. They just did. They was able to buy whatever they wanted, whatever their parents had the money. It wasn't them who had the money. It was their parents who had the money. So it don't always transfer over. Your parents make a good life and good living for themselves or whatever, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be able to do the same thing. You might fuck around and get pregnant at age 16, 17 years old because you were spoiled and shit. You know what I mean? You was used to getting everything you wanted, and guess what? Now you got a baby, and that's what you wanted, and it can kind of put the brakes on things. You might be able to catch up to your parents' revenue level later. But I don't know too many people that are into the same things now as they were 30, 40 years ago. More than likely, you still got this shit from 30, 40 years ago. No, if you talking about labels, you know, Polo, Gucci, Louis, and all that kind of stuff, I don't know. Let me know. Emily, she says, okay, wait, no. All right. DK Wright says, oh, my God, this clingy dude was so clingy that he would always get tight if I took another call while we were on the phone. Damn. Stacey White says, men know when you have self-esteem. Do they? Shirley, the world's most precious and greatest pearl in the world. Shirley, the world's most precious and greatest pearl in the world. But Ansel Jones says, Lizzo shows everything that she can in public. I wonder if she did that before she got a record deal. I'm not going for the Lizzo thing. Here's the thing about Lizzo. I don't blame her. She figured, like, look, these labels or whatever, they're gonna already try to block me, blackball me, and try to change me because of this fat shit. So I better run ahead of them and go ahead and rock out with this. I'm not so sure that she is as confident as she portrays herself to be because she's young. And I don't know if she gets high or whatever. I don't know what kind of things that are going on in her life that influence her to do the things that she's doing. But I wonder if Lizzo would be doing the same things that she's doing if she was a thin girl as she's doing when she's a fat girl. Because the shock factor and the money that she's making with the notoriety that she's gaining is undeniable as a fat girl. If she was thin, would she do the same thing? Because Lizzo she's okay. She's not like super pretty or nothing like that. She's not one of those fat girls. We'd be like, yo, man, she's pretty as shit. It's not like that. You know what I'm saying? She's okay. She's okay. So whether she was thin or whatever, she's an okay chick. Same as Kelly Price. Like, Kelly Price lost weight. And it was like, you know, you was regular. You know, you had a regular face. Anyway, well, that's my opinion anyway. But I don't know if Lizzo is going to look at what she's doing years later, 20, 30 years down the line, and be like, what in the hell? Once you start having children of your own and they see your journey, they see your struggle, and it's like, yo, I don't want my kids to have to do this. Like, in order to make it into this industry, like this, with showbiz, it might be like, this is all I have. Everything dealing with my world is riding on my success dealing with this because nothing else pays this way. But this has everything to do with myself, my self-worth, my self-love, and whether I will be able to live with myself from day to day. So, yeah, with the Lizzo thing, only time will tell. Because, you know, Even Madonna, with all of her antics that she portrayed in the 80s, you know, Madonna was wild. She was wild. But she owned the 80s, the entire 80s. She owned that shit for the most part. She came out in, what, 83? And she just had a hellified run. So, but she reflected on that, like when the 90s came, the 90s, 2000s, it was sort of like, I had to do those things because that was the only way I was going to make it. And I thought that was just the most important thing for me to do. But she didn't want her kids to do that shit. Like, nah, man. You know, you look at some of those tapes. Eminem. He said it's so hard for him to listen to those records that he made in the beginning of his career. Remember how he was always talking bad about his mom and about his baby mom. He made hit records dissing both of them. He said now he cringed when he heard those songs. Like, oh my God. Because he was on drugs his damn self. Speaking out of his pain, his anguish, his disappointment, his frustration. But people was buying records. There was a lot of pressure to keep making the records. They was working and all of that kind of stuff. So he kept doing it. And he got rich. But look at the price. Look at the price he had to pay. That price of fame ain't no joke. So I can't see Lizzo making it to 40 years old, 45, 50 years old, and looking back on those tapes and being like, yeah, I was doing that shit. I don't think so. I think it's going to be more like, I need a publicist right now. Somebody give me a publicist right now. If y'all would like to call into the show, I invite y'all to call in. The number to call is area code 319-527-6199. That's the number to call instead of 319-527-6199. Yes, 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 y'all. Instead of 319-527-6199. Yeah, get on the line. I said 319-527-6199. Yeah, get your shine, baby. Get your shine, baby. 319-527-6199, baby. Press number one, and that will let me know that you would like to speak, and then I will call you out by the last four digits of your telephone number. You can rock a rock on and do the damn thing. But yeah, judging by the way you look and the way that you act, I can tell, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if you can always tell. But sometimes you can. But how accurate are we? What are we giving off? I mean, think about yourself personally. What do you think that you're giving off by the way that you look, the way that you dress, the way that you act? What are you telling the world about you? Are you telling the truth? Or are you portraying a certain type of image to people in order to protect yourself? I mean, it's a natural thing for all living things to try to protect themselves. And, you know, we have plenty of animals that camouflage themselves out there in the wild in order to shield themselves and protect themselves against their predators. You know? Is what they need to do. Gazelle, zebra, and all types of prairie animals. You know, in order to keep them lions off your back, biting that spine out, you got to be able to find a way to hide. Doesn't necessarily mean that you're trying not to be yourself, but you're trying to get comfortable. You're trying to protect yourself from people who are predatory. And sometimes people are predatory just by their judgment of you. See, human beings are cursed with these things called feelings. And they can really get in the way. Make sure y'all hit that like button, man. We need to get them likes up. Hit the like button. Hit the like button. I see that we have a caller on the line. Caller with the last number, 6606. Welcome to the Daily Go Get 'Emism Show. What's on your mind this evening? Thank you for holding. What's good?
Well, judging by the way that you're talking about entertainers there, Go, I'll bet that you're real, real grateful that you're enmeshed in anonymity, aren't you?
Am I?
Are you?
I don't think so.
No? Oh, really? You're an influencer on YouTube? I didn't know that. Yeah? Congratulations.
Yeah. I don't know. I might have failed that class. Goofed again.
So you have some sort of infamy on you, huh? Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, I guess that's good. I don't know, because there are people on Blog Talk Radio that get talked about on YouTube. I almost was one of them. One time, one guy devoted an hour show to me on Blog Talk Radio because I called a chick a bitch. And I called her a bitch, not on his show, but on another show, because she admitted to cheating on two of her girlfriends. So I said, you know, she's a bitch. I said, you're a bitch. She complained to this guy, and this guy devoted an hour to me for calling her a bitch. You know, so it happens. It happens. But getting back to the point of what you're talking about, do we dress ourselves up or dress ourselves down or modify our behavior in order to protect ourselves from certain predators? I would imagine so. We have egos to protect. We have our space to protect. We have boundaries that we don't want people to cross. I think, again, I just got here and you picked up quickly, so I'm thinking that you're probably a sub-point would be, well, do we do so at our expense? I'm presuming that's part of your message.
I guess so. Basically, what we were talking about is, do we make unfair assumptions or judgments on people based on how they dress, how they look, or, you know, like, do we believe that we can get an assessment of somebody's life story based on the things that the way that they spend their money or the things that they buy, shop for, whatever, you know, like, you know, we hear it all the time, but is it always true? And what do we do about it? Like, do we still treat them fairly or do we start to treat them in a certain type of way based on what we see them doing and where we think they come from? Because I think we all have a certain amount of prejudice that we bestow on people. You know what I mean? It just depends on how far we go with it.
Well, I guess if we don't know them and we keep them at arm's length and all we do is see them in certain situations, well, yeah, it's natural. But if we know them and if we know the reasons why they do what they do, then we have a different and a more insightful perspective. So, yeah, I would imagine so. I mean, if we don't know them that well, how else are we going to judge them? And nobody can tell me that we don't judge other human beings. We all judge. We all take assessments. We all try to fit people into a box that we, you know, that we can identify as either being A, B, or C. So, yeah, I think it's natural we do that. Now, can we do it fairly? Well, there is confirmation bias. I mean, we can see, you know, it's like what people would say about Trump. You know, if the Democrats ever saw Trump walking on water, they would say, see, that's proof the guy can't swim. So it all depends upon, you know, confirmation bias. That's what they say.
I wasn't ready for that. It's pretty cool. I told you he couldn't swim. He only had to walk in the water.
Yeah. He's walking on water. Yeah. Bastard can't swim. See?
Confirmation bias. I think that's a good word right there. Good concept. But yeah, I think that I don't think that we are able to escape judgment of people on a regular basis, especially when we don't know them. I just question whether that influences us to try to build bridges with them or separate ourselves from them. Like, do you think that you can tell when somebody comes from quote unquote money?
Well, if they dress like money, yeah. Now, since you said it, I remember years ago I was working in an office, and I was working with a guy that had to be told to me. He was the heiress to the Panaka chain. And the guy never acted like he had money. He always acted like he was an asshole, but he never acted to me like he was, you know, somebody who had money. Mm-hmm. And then there are people who try to make you believe that they have money by talking a certain way, spending money a certain way, talking about the people that they know, the places that they've gone to, and they don't have a pot to piss in. So, you know, there are those chameleons out there.
Yeah. Because it's subjective. What is coming from money from one person for one person might be totally different for another person. You know, like coming from money for one person might have just meant that your parents were able to put a decent house for you to live in, and they were able to pay their bills and still have a little money left over to go shopping. For some people, that's having money. You know, it's kind of weird. You know, for other people, that's going to cut the mustard. You know what I mean? For other people, having money means having a lot of assets, a lot of things that have equity in them and things like that, which makes sense. Yeah. But it's their cultural differences. You know, people who really come from money are not normally questioned about those kind of things, and they're not normally concerned about who thinks they do it or they don't, because they've already been trained on how to do this, and they keep their concentration on making sure that they have the financial means to have the things that they want and stuff like that. But us down lower, you know, just like you were saying, sometimes based on the way that they dress, like, I've learned from growing up in the hood that the way you dress definitely has nothing to do with how much money you have. It has a lot to do with how much money you had, though, because you already spent it.
Had.
Yeah. You know, but I don't know about how much you actually have left over, you know what I mean? But but yeah, so there's a lot of trickery out there. I think it was a TV show. It was a TV show that I saw back in the day, and the guy had got a Mercedes Benz, and because he had this Mercedes Benz, he was getting job offers and all this kind of stuff, because when they saw him pull up in the Benz, they figured that he already had money. Then they were going to give him. I'm thinking, like, would that work? So because I already can afford something that costs a lot of money, you're going to pay me more money? I don't know. You know, but that's how the show went. And I'm thinking, like, that's I wonder if that really works. And I'm thinking in corporate, I don't understand why it would, but.
Hey, you know what? I never thought of it until you mentioned it. But suppose, you know, the next time, I don't know if you continue to go out on job interviews, I don't have residual income coming in. I still have my resume up there, and if somebody actually offers me exactly what I want, and I'm in that type of luxury position now, you know, I can always refuse everything. But suppose, you know, you want to go out on interviews, and instead of driving a Buick, you drive a 2022 Cadillac, you're wearing a Brooks Brothers suit, that's, you know, about a $3,000 suit, and you act like, you know, this job, I'm doing you a favor by coming in here. I wonder how many people would say, you know what, you know, we got to have this guy.
It would really depend on the value system of the interviewer. So I don't know if that would work or not. it's not a strategy that I would employ. You know, that's a little much. But yeah, I'm sure that some people have probably tried something along those lines. But you would have to make sure that the person who's interviewing you or who you're trying to get sponsorship from or partnership with cares about that kind of stuff. Because it's like, if you already have money, then we shouldn't have to pay you a whole lot more. That's what I'm thinking. Maybe I just don't have the mentality of somebody who would clock that accurately. But yeah, I don't know. But yeah, knowing if somebody comes for money or whatever, I don't know. Now you can tell. I think that you can tell more accurately whether somebody grew up around parents or I was going to say manners, you know, home training. Like if they grew up with parents that insisted that they mind their manners, you know, you can tell that because that's something that children normally pay attention to, and they normally maintain the practice of as they become adults. It's not easy to break out of that type of tutelage. If you've had parents that were always correcting your grammar, always making sure that you addressed adults as Mr. and Miss and Mrs. and, you know, things like that, that's not an easy thing to get away from. You know, it's a certain respectful that starts to become ingrained in you, and you start to expect it for yourself as well. And it may turn you off when you don't see that reciprocated, or when you see other children not being taught the same thing. So there's lots of twists and turns when it comes to this type of topic. But yeah, it's not always easy to tell just by looking or just by the way they act. 'Cause people pretend. You know, there's some people who live in an alternative universe. They just live in a fantasy world. Like, you don't know. You know, they're trying to make you believe that they have Superman powers, and, you know, they can climb buildings like Spider-Man and things like that. So you never know, especially with social media.
I mean, you have people who probably take it that far that they really want to make people believe that they're not just ordinary human beings, that they're endowed with some sort of either special intelligence, special insight, or special type of powers. Those are called paranoid schizophrenics. Those are people who are, you know, people trying to catch with a net.
You'd be amazed, but there's a lot of that going on out here. There are a lot of people out here. It's crazy. It's crazy because if you think about it, if you were a child and you were discouraged from ever being able to live out the fantasy world that you valued, even though you were, you were able to watch cartoons and movies, TV shows all day. Yeah, you may have waited until you finally got your big chance, and now, you know, all of those little stories that you used to tell, and all of those little tattles that you used to tell, and all that kind of stuff. Now you can actually, you know, you just forget to say psych at the end, like, how did I miss it?
So at the age of 25 and 30, instead of just bullshitting with your boys, you know, all with trying to impress your friends of friends, you forget to say psych. You actually want to make people believe that you're either Clark Kent or what's Spider-Man's alter ego? Something or other, Peter Parker. Yeah.
Oh, man. To put a stamp on that, I just got finished listening to the audio book of Will Smith. And he was saying in his book, he was considered to be a compulsive liar. He lived in an alternative universe in his head his whole life. He really believed the fantasy that was going on.
Really?
Yo, it was a, it's a, it it was an interesting read or listen in my case, you know what I mean? But I'm thinking like, ain't this some shit?
Yeah.
So it's funny because when you hear him say that how he was the biggest movie star ever, and I'm thinking like, is this part real or is it not? I guess he has the numbers to support that, but I'm like, wow, so you went from an alternative reality to the reality of an alternative reality. You know what I'm saying? Like, your job is to pretend.
Yeah.
Your whole job is to pretend for a living, and you pretty much nailed it. But that's from doing it
well,
for free your whole life. So.
And I see, from what you've just told me, if I were to, let's say, be introduced to him, and is he still with Jada?
Yeah.
Do they break up?
No,
he's still with her.
He's
still with her. Well, even one of them, I think, after having learned that, you know, like say throughout most of his childhood, he was telling nothing but fantasies about himself and trying to make people believe it. Now he's one of the biggest action stars in the world, but the biggest guy in Hollywood or in the world.
At one time,
I don't know.
He
would have a hell of a lot of.
Yeah,
he was.
Yeah, he really was. Like, listen, I've never really been a fan, so I didn't understand it. But you know, after he started rattling it off, and I got to thinking about it, I said, shit, I guess he was. You know how it is when somebody's not your favorite. You don't look at him in that kind of mm-hmm. way, but the numbers are what they were. His movies made more money than anybody. Yeah, he was beating Tom Cruise and Robert Downey Jr. He was beating them all. He had them beat.
Schwarzenegger too?
Decisively. Smashed them all.
No kidding.
Yeah, his movies.
Oh, I know Independence Day was a blockbuster, and a couple of other films did pretty well, but he'd have to do like $4 to $6 billion total, because Cruise has done over $2 billion. Some other stars have done over a couple of. Stallone's done over $2 billion.
He beat them all.
Gross.
He named all of them.
No kidding.
Beat them. You know, those I Am Legend, those Men in Black. I mean, I'm thinking like, don't nobody want to see those fucking movies? Yeah, I guess they did.
I thought that the movies were interesting, but I didn't know that they grossed in, you know, that amount of money. Well, I guess he was.
I never would have believed it. I never would have believed it. I'm like, wait a minute. Stop. No, he beat them all. But I'm saying all that to say that, you know, like looking at him, had I not listened to that book, I would have said, get the hell out of here. He didn't do that. No, he did.
Me neither.
Yeah. Yeah, if you get a chance, if you have the Audible app or whatever, you know, download the. If you have credits or whatever, download it. It's going to be interesting because he leaves out a lot of shit. Like, he'll lead up to something, then he'll totally go around it. So you see, like, okay. Yeah, you skirt the issue when he's forced to get deep into the real root of the problem. But that shows you where the fantasy kicks in. Versus the reality. It's not easy for him to deal with reality. But that's the case with a lot of people. But listen, man, we got to get on the fire. But I appreciate calling through, coming through. We'll be back for tomorrow at 11 o'clock. So if you want to come back through then, good looking.
All right. Take it easy, Go. I'll see you
all
next time. Bye-bye.
Right,
have a good one.
All right. All right, good stuff as usual. Well, all right, y'all, let's do these birthday shout-outs. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious January 21st, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-E-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-E-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box. Tyra Thomas. Tyra turning 49 years old today. Hey. And Melanie Clayton Boone turning 46 years old today. And Michelle Wilson turning 33 years old today. And Desiree Johnson turning 45 years old today. Bow! And my girl Angel Salters turning 52 years old today. And Nana Botma the second turning 44 years old today. And Umberta Edwards turning 27 years old today. And Sandra Cruz turning 35 years old today. And Tamika Millwood turning 37 years old today. And Inez Altagracia Medina, happy birthday to you. And Tracy Smith, happy birthday to you. And go get a Buana Bynum turning 37 years old today. And my girl Tracy Taylor turning 62 years old today. And Yolanda Thomas, happy birthday to you. And my younger cuz, Yusef Abrams, happy birthday to you. And Lena Marie Grenier McGee, happy birthday to you. And last but not least, my cuz up in Milwaukee, that's my girl right there, Angelique Sharp, Sharp Angelique. I want to say, and she's raising money for the fundraiser for Loving and Developing Youth Incorporated. That's what I'm talking about, cuz. Do the damn thing. And she's already raised $170 of $1,000, so you can donate if you want to. I want to say happy birthday to all of you and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious, glorious, glorious January 21st, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally. All of y'all go ahead and turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. Rock out, rock on it, do the damn, rock out, rock on it, do the damn, rock out, rock on it, do the damn thing, you do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings, you do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind, and anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, listen, check it on out. I'm going to tell you what it's all about. When we see a person, you know, the way they look, the way they dress, the way they spend their money, how they shop, you know, what they riding in, kind of house they live in, the way they dress their kids, the way they treat their mom, the way they look at the girl, the way they wear the girls, the way they get their hair done in their barbershop, the way they approach a stop sign and don't stop, the roll away stop, and yo, here come the cops, you're gonna give you a ticket and you gonna act like you not. All right. We're not always right about, you know, where a person comes from or what they think or what they do or how they feel or what's up with them. But, hey, we still try. We still try. And I imagine that we should. We're going to put our best foot forward to try to make sure that we understand the world around us and the things that are in it, the people that are in it, and the way that we are affected. But at the same time, remember that somebody is looking at us the same way. So what kind of energy are we giving off? And what are we looking like? And what are we portraying? And how are we displaying ourselves to the rest of the world? Are you ready? Are you ready? I want y'all to have a great night, man. Friday night. Living it up. Oh, yeah. Friday night. I want y'all to be safe, man. If y'all going out tonight, please be safe. Over here in Philly, it's cold in the month. Matter of fact, let me see what the temperature is, because I don't think y'all understand what we working with over here. It's cold, move down in the teens all day. What's the temperature now? 22 degrees. All right. It went up to warm. That's 10 degrees below freezing. Cold out this morning. Cold out. So if you're going out, be careful. Be careful of the COVID, man. Be careful of the COVID. Be careful of the gunshots and all the violence and all the craziness. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's so much better to just keep to yourself with the rest of your crew. Keep your circle tight. We will be back tomorrow morning, 11 o'clock, and that's without a doubt, man. So I'll see y'all here. And love is love, baby. So my Blog Talkers, let me get you on up out of here. I get back. And for my Instagrammers, yo, Five Slammer Jammer, thanks for coming on through and let me exercise my grammar.